Good morning. Todd Zwillick here with Lynn Schur. Anger and rage on both sides of the U.S.-Mexican border after a 15-year-old Mexican boy was shot and killed by a U.S. Border Patrol agent on Monday night. Border Patrol agents say a group of teenage boys were throwing rocks at them, which prompted the gunshot across the border. But U.S. authorities, Mexican authorities, and eyewitnesses all disagree on what really happened. Lynn, CNN is actually reporting right now that a new video obtained by then cast doubts, they say, on a U.S. Border Patrol agent's claim that the kid was surrounded by rock-throwing teens in Ciudad Juarez across from El Paso. It says the video that was shot from a cell phone shows that the 14 or 15-year-old boy may not have been surrounded
by rock.
So
he might have been all by himself.
Well, it's unclear at this point, but there's certainly a dispute about the circumstances that led to the shooting and about how much danger U.S. Border Patrol agents may have been in
before they fired. But rock throwing, as we know, is probably the most common form of protest in that part of the border. This is the way they taunt the other side.
Right.
So obviously, video evidence would be a good thing to have in this case.
It would be very helpful, and it would probably also be very helpful in this case, because not only a controversy about who was responsible for provocation or for shooting, of course it's a child, but also a shooting across an international border.
Right.
Issues of sovereignty and accountability and extradition are very, very hard to solve. And we're lucky to be joined by Tom Hughes, a criminal defense lawyer in El Paso, who can help us sort out some of the probable legalities that are going to be involved here. Tom, good morning.
Morning, y'all. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's sad news from down there in Mexico. We have a teen who was shot in Mexico, allegedly from the United States. Before we get to culpability and accountability, how do you investigate an incident like this when the alleged shooter is in one country and the alleged victim is in another?
Well, one of the problems is the jurisdiction issue. And if you look at it, there are at least seven government entities that potentially have jurisdiction to this. And on the American side, that would be the city of El Paso and their police department, the county of El Paso in its sheriff's department, the state of Texas, the United States government. And on the Mexican side, it would be the state of Chihuahua, the city of Juarez, and the Mexican federal authorities. So there's lots of agencies and entities and government operations involved in this.
And then what about that's the alphabet soup of all the agencies. What about the complexity of getting them? It's hard enough to get agencies on this side of the border to cooperate. How does one go about getting them to cooperate across a border, or do they?
Not very well. For many, many years here in El Paso, there has been an outreach program between the El Paso Police Department and the local municipal authorities in Juarez of trading information, particularly due to the high rate of auto thefts we have in El Paso, which nearly all go straight across the river to Mexico. But that relationship and that exchange of information has been greatly damaged over the course of the murder spree in Juarez in the last couple of years.
Is the tension particularly high because of the murders, because of what's been going on, or is there any additional tension because of the new interest in our immigration laws and what's been going on in Arizona in this country?
Well, you know, the national media has kind of overlooked what goes on down in the southern border for many years, in my estimation. The problem has gotten increasingly worse. El Paso and Juarez are two very large urban areas that back up right next to each other. And the problem is the flow of people back and forth is unregulated primarily by both countries.
By both countries. Tom Hughes, you're in El Paso now. You're a defense lawyer, but since you have eyes in El Paso, which we don't have, let me ask you, how familiar are you with the area where the shooting actually took place?
Oh, very familiar.
So,
it is a hotbed of gang and smuggling activity.
Okay, well, the question I want to ask you then is one of proximity. 15-year-old, 14-year-old boys throwing rocks, are we talking about 5 feet, 50 feet, 500 feet? How much of a threat likely would U.S. border agents have been feeling from rock-throwing teens across the Rio Grande?
Well, last night on our local CBS affiliate, there was a piece of videotape that was shown that is apparently from a surveillance camera down there on the border, and I believe the FBI is in possession of this tape. They were within 3 feet of each other.
Oh, so right close up. This is not a case of hurling rocks from down the block.
And there's no fence or is there there? Or is this just two people standing on either side of an imaginary line?
Well, there's actually a river there, but the situation is that most of the water is diverted a few miles up from where this incident occurred into an irrigation canal that carries water further south down to farmland. So this area, you can pretty much wade across the river. And so there's not much of an impediment to crossing. In this particular location where this Iron Railroad Bridge is, has been, as long as I can remember, and I've lived in El Paso my entire life,
a
hotbed of smuggling and criminal activity down there.
Well, back on the legal issues then, Mexican authorities have asked for the border agent, the alleged shooter, to be turned over to them. Is there a legal precedent for any such thing happening between the United States and Mexico?
Well, there is a legal precedent for this such a thing happening. I can tell you that in this case, my opinion is that it will never happen. There is no way that a federal agency in this country is going to turn an officer over for a trial in the Republic of Mexico.
So traditional extradition happens in the case of a crime, but in this case, no chance.
There's no chance. It will not happen.
What's the mood in El Paso right now, Tom?
You know, it's not as stirred up down here as it is in other parts of the country. I looked at the morning headline for the El Paso Times, and the front page story says, in Juarez, a little outcry over death. It's not that this is a common occurrence down here, but these type of situations are not uncommon. And these Border Patrol agents are under a great deal of stress and pressure. And by the way, this young man, as it turned out, according to the FBI as of yesterday, is a known alien smuggler. He's a coyote.
And at the same time, a dispute now about whether the young man was in fact surrounded by rock-throwing teens. We're going to see what the CNN video that they claim to have actually shows. It's definitely going to remain controversial. Tom Hughes, criminal defense lawyer from El Paso, and also, thankfully, our eyes and ears, because he's a longtime resident. Mr. Hughes, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.